We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Always love having this guy on the show because he's awesome. We're going to the Western Hotline. We're bringing in the media mogul himself, co-host of The Instigators. He's on so many different media properties, it would take half the segment to cover it all. Martin Biron joining us on the Western Hotline. Good morning, Mr. Biron. It's Howard and Jeremy. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Howard. When we first met on the at Transit Valley Country Club on the set of Fan TV, did you think my career was going to go this way and then we would talk regularly about Sabres and other things?
No, I had no idea who you were. In fact, I'm trying to think because I don't know how often we would. I know one year when we were at Transit Valley, I want to say it was Eric Rasmussen's draft year. I don't even know where you were in chronology then. That would have been before you got here, right?
Well, yeah, so Rasmussen was drafted the year after me, so
okay.
The year before I got drafted, and then we would spend our summers in Buffalo to work out, and then I think it was the Juvenile Diabetes Golf Tournament that was held at Transit Valley. Don and Diane Luce would take us to, and that's where I went and sat with you and Jim Brinson, and we hung out.
Wow.
Marty, the flip side of that question is the first time you met Howard, did you think he would still be around this many years later?
Don't say it.
Jeremy, I took one. So Howard had the white socks pulled up, the white shoes, and I said, wow, this guy really knows how to dress.
Yeah.
Some things never change.
Yeah.
The good news is, Marty, I still have the same look. Now the socks are a little lower.
Hey, if it works, why change it, right?
It doesn't work, but I'm too stubborn to change it. Marty, can you golf? Are you good at the sport?
I used to be, and now that I don't have any time to play, I haven't even taken the golf clubs out of the garage yet this year.
Uh-oh.
I think my driver, my 3-wood, and my wedges are in my son's golf bag, so I'm going to have to steal those back later. But it's not about how well you play when you play in an event like tomorrow's 100 holes of golf. I'm obviously not playing 100 holes, but Jeremy is. But me and Brian Duff are going to join him for the first leg very early tomorrow morning. And I just hope that I can get it done in, you know, an hour 45. That's kind of my goal, to get really quick out of the blocks and not have too many shots.
Marty, telling me you haven't swung a club all year means that when you blast one down the middle, I'm going to be mad about it. You don't play at all. He's going to walk up on the tee and be a natural again.
I was watching the U.S. Open, obviously, last week, and I'm thinking I'm going John Rahm on everybody, like the short backswing and just power through forward. Like, I don't want to take the long backswing John Daly type. I'm going to have this three-quarter long short backswing, but a really strong power finish.
Yeah. Well, that's tomorrow, and you and I can chat on the course a bunch. We do have plenty to talk to you about with the Sabres offseason. Marty, is it a perfect offseason if you want a goalie? I mean, I think for you and Duff are talking about this offseason and what to attack, they have a lot of needs, but at the same time, they don't have a lot of spots because they're young and they're growing. But at goaltender, it kind of appears that things are wide open-ish, right? UPL is down on the farm, and he might be ready to get more time. Do you have a plan at goalie? Do you have any specific name, any plan you like better than any other?
I don't think it's a great summer for the goalie market because there's going to be a lot of movement, but the guys that are on the market, the John Gibsons and Jack Campbell and Villiuso, and there's a big question mark attached to every one of them. Do I like Villiuso? Absolutely. I mean, he's 27 years old. but one good year. It's a very small sample. So what do you get next year? But I still think he's a very, very solid goaltender. Sergei Bobrovsky at 50%, does that appeal to you? He's going to be 34 in September, I believe, and he's got four more years. But if you don't have to pay the full $10 million on the cap, is five good? But would Florida trade him in division? Does that help the Sabres and their plan? So I think it's going to be interesting. I don't foresee the Sabres swinging for the fence again this summer. I think that they are going to go about their business, and I think that's very prudent and good. I don't see them having a ton of needs. I like what they've got in their young players, and give them that opportunity to develop into the big club roster. But in net, is UPL a 30-game guy? Is he a 40-game guy? Is he not? Is he a 10-game guy? That's a big question. Do you want Craig Anderson to come back? Because I think the door is open for Craig Anderson, if he wants to play, to return. But with his health during the season and UPL's health during the season, are you looking for maybe a third guy that's more established? So I think there's a lot of questions, and I don't think that it will all be answered in the next 3 weeks. I think it's going to take a while for the Sabres to put all the pieces together, maybe even go into a training camp.
Do you like the Bobrovsky idea at all? I mean, if Florida's taking half the salary, I saw Frank Saravelli, I think it was, report that they would take half the salary and give a team something also. So you're paying half the price. He is older. He has had plenty of regular season success over the course of his career.
Yeah, so the big thing with Bobrovsky is I would love it if it was for 2 years. I don't know that I love it for four, because I think that in the next 4 years, you're going to want to develop, hopefully, Devin Levi, Eric Portillo. They spend a couple of years in Rochester. They come up to Buffalo. You want to be able to have that path open. Obviously, with Bobrovsky, after 4 years, he wouldn't be here, and maybe in the last year you can trade him. But I don't love the idea of Sergei Bobrovsky. I don't love the idea of Jack Campbell so much, or John Gibson. I think maybe you want to look at a 1 year or two short gap in it with a Casey DeSmith or somebody that's been around that has some abilities at the NHL level, but may not be that standout number one, especially if you want to give UPL and possibly Craig Anderson a chance to establish themselves right away. So we may get what we got last year, is get a couple of guys in camp, three or four guys in camp, and there's a really good training camp battle going on for who the two or three guys that are going to be in Buffalo at the start of the season will be.
Marty, with UPL, it's next season. Camp's underway. Preseason is underway. And if he doesn't like play well enough to clearly grab the number one job, let's say it doesn't look like he's ready for whatever, 50, 60 games, whatever it is, would you want him here anyway, playing in theory as the number two, 20, 25 games? Or I don't even know if he can go back to Rochester. Would you want him playing every day there?
That's always the tough question every year. Like, what's better for a young goaltender? But I think at this point, UPL has done his development in Rochester. He has been there, albeit it was a couple of weird seasons with, a COVID stop season and then a pandemic season where they only played the same three or four teams and a limited amount of games. So, but I still think that now is the time. Now is the time to see what you have in UPL at the NHL level. A couple of years back, I give everybody that example. A couple of years back in the AHL, Jonas Johansson and Igor Shesterkin were the top two goaltenders in the AHL. Well, you could tell at the NHL level who was better than the other. One is just one of Vezina. The other one is not in the league anymore. If he is, it's a third goalie. So having success at the AHL level can translate to success in the NHL level, but it doesn't always do that. You have to let that goalie play at the NHL and see what they really have, what their skill set is, and if it translates to the NHL. So I think it's time to give UPL a really strong look right from the start of the season and see what he's got.
Marty, as we talk about the Sabres offseason, you know, whether it's about swinging for the fences or letting the young guys just kind of percolate, the goal, I think, next year for the Sabres should be to make the playoffs or to be really close, and the fans want a little bit of a chase. We spend a lot of time talking about who might fall out. Boston, Washington, Pittsburgh, you know, some of these teams that might fall out of the postseason. How about the other side of it, like Montreal, a team that fell apart last year and gets the number one pick to kind of help them? Detroit, you know, Sider just won the Calder Trophy. Ottawa's build. When you look at this division, where do you think the Sabres stack up? Not just the teams they're chasing, but the teams that are behind them this year that also have young talent.
Okay, so Detroit's going to have a new coach. And look, I think they've got some really good young talent. And you talked about Mort Sider and Lucas Raymond. And they still have Dylan Larkin. And they've got some really good players. New coach. Their goaltending last year was, you know, they acquired Nedeljkovic. He started good, didn't really play well in starting about midway in the season. So I don't know. I don't see Detroit. I think they're going to develop into something good, but I put the Sabres ahead of them. I put the Sabres ahead of Ottawa and Montreal. Montreal's a new coach. Ottawa, question mark, in that, kind of like the Sabres. But I think there's something to be said for every team that the Sabres have been mingling with the last couple of years. But I like the way the Sabres are put together. I like that a guy like Tage Thompson has taken a huge step forward. I love the addition of Alex Tuch. I think the defense, when you put Dahlin and Samuelson and Power and Joki Aho and you look at their age and you say, this is not just for this year, but for the next 7 years, these four could be together. I really think that the Sabres are ahead of what's behind them. So now you look up, right, as you pointed out, I think Boston with their injury situation and who knows what's going to happen with Bergeron, a new coach again in Boston, I think they are going to be in a position to maybe fall. But Washington is the one that is going to fall hard. Nick Backstrom and his surgery is going to be tough, the goaltending situation. So I think there's an opportunity, but it could be Detroit. It could be Ottawa. I don't see Montreal there, but it could be one of those two teams stepping a little bit ahead of Buffalo. But I would bet on Buffalo before I bet on the other teams.
So you're saying next season is finally the year that Boston might actually slip, because we've been waiting 5 to 7 years for that to happen, for something to catch up to that franchise?
Well, slip, I don't think they're going to get 107 points like they did last season. I don't think the Washington Capitals are going to get 100 points like they did last season. But how many points is it going to take to get in the playoffs? I think we may come back to 95, 96, mm-hmm. maybe even 94 in the Eastern Conference. So can Boston get 97 points, which is, you know, 10 less than last season, which is a significant drop off, and still get in the playoffs? So it could happen. And you look at Buffalo, they had 75 points. So they would need 22 more to get to 97. I mean, that's a much bigger leap forward than Boston would have a drop off if both teams were to get to 97 points. So I don't know if it's going to be enough of a fall off for Boston. I think Washington will have more of a fall off, in my opinion. But I think there's a chance to see Boston start to drop. And the Sabres starting to catch them up for not only this year, but maybe year two and year three looking ahead.
Marty, I had a couple quick I wanted to ask you about Ryan Miller before we let you go, but a couple quick cup final questions. One, who should the Avs play in goal tonight?
Darcy Kuemper. I mean, I have my mind all twisted up and saying, well, if you go to Francois in game four, it's easy to come back to Kuemper in game five if Colorado lose game four. But who likes to think, well, if we lose, what are we going to do? You're a coach. You have to see every angle. But if you're Jared Bednar, you got to think, who gives me the better chance to win game four? And who was our number one goaltender all year? Who did we trade for? It's one bad game. And I think it was not only a bad game for Darcy Kuemper, but for the Colorado Avalanche. So I think you go with Kuemper in game four. But if they do lose game four, then you better light up a few a few candle at the Basilica or something, because it's going to be a trouble in Colorado.
And the other thing on the other team's goal, they want to ask you about Vasilevskiy. I know he's had a couple of bumpy first periods in the final, but if Tampa comes back and they go on to win the series and he wins a third straight cup, where does he go in the pantheon of goaltenders?
Well, it's so funny because this season, for the first year, I saw Vasilevskiy kind of take a little bit of a step back in the second half of the season. He didn't look the same way. He didn't look the same way in the first 5.5 games in the first round against Toronto. And then at 3-3 in game six, he decided, okay, I'll start to play. And then he was good in game seven, great in the Florida series. He was okay, good to above average, great in the Rangers series. So having that chance to extend your season almost made Vasilevskiy closer to the top three, top four goaltenders. In my opinion, it's always going to be Hasek, Roy, and Brodeur, and then you can debate on the fourth goaltender there. If Vasilevskiy wins a third Stanley Cup in the dominant ways that he's been playing over the last few years, I think you got to put him on that Mount Rushmore.
Okay, Ryan Miller. It's not Mount Rushmore, but it's, you know, the number is going up in the rafters of KeyBank Center. Can you just give us your initial reaction when you heard the word that, Hall of Fame, for sure, I don't mean to ignore that, but jersey in the rafter obviously is a very, very select group.
Yeah, a very select group. And I think what it tells not only the fan base, but the players and the organization is, you know what, you can do a lot of great things on the ice, but it's also the things that you do off the ice and the overall person that you are, the athlete that you are, and the role model that you are, that makes a difference. And I think the Sabres this year with this group of players understood that, and I think Ryan Miller was the perfect example of that. Is he's such a strong competitor in practice, in the gym, although goalies, we don't go in the gym all that much, but still, like, he's a guy that's kept himself in really, really solid shape, always thought about the game, was a leader in the locker room. Obviously, his performance on the ice, speaks for itself, but everything else that he's done off the ice, the charity work, the love for the fan base in Buffalo, and the fan base loving him back. So I think that was that's well deserved, and that's why his numbers is going up alongside RJ's banner and Hasek and Guerin and the French Connection and Tim Hortons and Pat LaFontaine, is because it was the full package from Millsy.
So it can't be instant trivia, because I think it's only two answers: number of goalies who owe a jersey retirement to you is now two, right?
It is. Well, three, because Hasek, I was there, I think, when they did Dom's, but I don't remember what year they did it, or maybe I was still playing. But Hasek had his jersey retired, Lundqvist, and now Miller. So that was three teammates.
That's it, right? The list is done. I don't think there's anybody. Yeah. No one from the Islanders or Flyers.
No one from the Islanders and Flyers. I don't know that they'll retire Rick DiPietro's number in New York. They have to wait for his contract to expire.
Marty, did I miss it when you were running through that Rushmore, Hasek, Brodeur, Wah, and Vasilevskiy with the case to be four? Lundqvist, does he have a case for that for you?
No, I think Hank was is going to be a Hall of Famer. I think, again, his number retired in New York. Do I put him in the greats of the Rangers? Yes, but I think he's still behind Mike Richter and maybe even Eddie Jackman in New York. Richter with the cup. If Lundqvist had won the cup with the Rangers, he's number one on that list. And then you can debate the Mount Rushmore maybe. But I think Lundqvist's a Hall of Famer. I think he's one of the best. But, I mean, look, we have to talk about Jacques Plante, Glenn Hall, Terry Sawchuk, Ken Dryden. There is so many other names. And I only said Wah, Brodeur, Hasek, and Vasilevskiy. And there's a debate for so many others to be included. I think Lundqvist is on the out of that.
Mm.
And finally, to bring it all full circle, you know, you mentioned Ryan Miller, all the stuff he did off the ice. But two of the causes we're playing for tomorrow for the 100 Holes of a Golf. One of them is the Courage of Carly Fund, which, you know, Ryan did a lot of work with Carly's Club, with Roswell Park. So if anyone that's listening can make a donation to Marty, to me, to anybody on the team, to Nate, that's part of the event tomorrow at the 100 Holes of Golf. It goes to the Courage of Carly Fund, which helps kids and families with kids suffering from pediatric cancer and blood disorders. And also the Live Like Luca Foundation to support local area kids, giving them opportunities to participate in sports. One of the things that Mike Lazakowski mentioned with us yesterday, that they, you know, they give kids the opportunity. That's with Roswell and with the 11-day power play Victory Sports, right? Like another cause to make sure that kids in the area can get opportunities they might not normally get. So lots of good stuff happened in the summer for a lot of good causes. And if you could support us, you know, we would appreciate it very much. Marty, I'll see you.
When we went back, just quickly, guys, when we talk about how time is fly and the connection you make in Western New York and Buffalo, I remember meeting Chuck and Carly the first time with the Courage of Carly, and man, what an amazing girl she was, and what a story. And now the Courage of Carly Fund, and it just is amazing that they're still going and still helping out in this community. So fantastic people.
Yeah, saw Chuck last week Thursday. He came to our bar fundraiser. So yeah, done a lot of good in the community. Marty, I'll see you bright and early tomorrow on the course.
Are you hitting balls before, or are we getting there like a half hour before to stretch?
I'll already be nine holes in by the time you get there.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, maybe I'll have to catch up.
I'll be loose. I'll be warmed up.
looking forward to it, Jeremy. Howard, always nice to talk to you, too.
Thanks, Marty. Have fun tomorrow. Good luck.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.